Good morning and welcome to the roundtable and our panel discussion for this Monday, the 20th of July. Very nice to have you with us. Hope you all had a lovely weekend and safe and all that good stuff, and you're here. We welcome you to join us in the conversation roundtable at WAMC.org. Let me introduce our panel to you, and then we'll get started with a wide range of issues this morning. WAMC's Dr. Alan Chartok is in the studio. Good morning, sir.
Hello, Joseph.
How are you?
Hello, everybody.
Hello. And University, I'm still going to say SUNY. That's what my pride. Yeah. University at Albany, journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo is here. Good morning.
Good morning.
And political consultant Libby Post joins us as she does each and every Monday morning.
Hello.
Very nice to have you here. So, again, we welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. We talked about this last week a little bit, and I just want to bring it up again because of the huge story that this became over the weekend, and that is our friend Donald Trump and what he said about John McCain. Now, here's my dilemma, and I think perhaps many of us in the media, is this a front page story as it has become? Or is this just kind of the ramblings of a madman? And I don't know. Like, I say that.
Well, you know, the ramblings of a madman sometimes become front page stories. Look at the guy who shot up everybody in Colorado. Look at, you know, I mean, he was crazy. I mean,
look at Hitler,
right,
who was considered to be a
big
clown and a madman.
That's right. That's right. I mean, this,
by the way, I just want to preface this by saying, as of the latest polls, still
he's
the leader of the pack. So that's why
exactly
I bring
this
up as an issue.
And I can hear the music in the background.
No, exactly right.
You know, but I mean, he, sooner or later, he's going to say something that will make
what could be
worse,
more offensive than not. I know John McCain's not a hero.
He's
because
a
he
war
caught.
Hero
because
he
got
was
caught.
Captured.
Right.
I like people that weren't captured.
Yeah.
Okay, and then there's that statement, and then there's the which I think is really the issue here with Trump and his personality is that he refuses to apologize or even understand what he said is outrageous.
I'd like to talk to that first, just a second.
Yes.
It seems to me that he realizes that once they get caught in the apologia phase, in other words, they say something and then they have to apologize for it, they look like used goods.
And they never get out of it.
So here's what. He's never going to apologize for anything.
No.
That's his philosophy, and so far, it's working for him. People may not like the fact that he said that about McCain. On the other hand, they're not deserting him or anybody or on this one or anything else.
Now, when he insults some little child in a wheelchair or something like that and say, "Why don't you just get up?" You know, then I think people will start to have their eyes open. But this man is speaking to the basest base of this party. You know, people who do not want to apologize for their racism, for their homophobia, for anything, who think that they have a right to be as outrageous as they want to be. And he is giving voice to
that.
And
why was he going after John McCain in the first place?
Who knows?
Oh, because McCain allegedly insulted him about something.
Yeah. About
call him a wacko.
McCain said he
was a wacko.
He needs to get out of the party. And
yeah.
So he attacked back.
There
are two things that disturb me about this. One is that, we are giving him airtime, the problem you mentioned. And, you know, we haven't talked about Obama, who has begun a really amazing and brave program to redo our prison system or the way we imprison people. We should be talking about that, and we're not. So really, issues get lost. And the second thing is I really believe in using our wonderful rights of freedom of expression and saying what you really think. And then Trump shows the bad side of that. Mm-hmm. Give me back talking points where one of them across the top of the page is written, "You do not insult war heroes." Mm-hmm. I didn't like when John Kerry was attacked by Republicans in the last election. There are many reasons not to vote for him, but his war record was definitely not one of them. And the same with John McCain.
And John Kerry is coming to the defense of John McCain.
Exactly. It's all very...
Who's the more human person here?
So, I mean, the Washington Post has a wonderful story today. Did you see that?
Yes.
They compared the lives of John McCain and Donald Trump at the time when they were young men.
Six deferments, correct?
Yes, six deferments. Yeah. And, you know, I don't criticize Trump either. You know, if I had sons, I would not have wanted... I would have wanted them to go to college and not Vietnam.
He's sort of proud of it.
But he's boasting against a man who, I mean, whether you liked Vietnam or not, and I was totally opposed to it, a man who was shot down down. He's got three broken limbs, refuses to break and tell them anything, is suffered horribly.
To leave early when they want to let him out because he's the admiral's son.
I'm sorry, that's heroic by any sort of definition.
Absolutely. And for his part, and unless he has said something that I'm not aware of, he has stayed out of the fray. He has not come out so far, no. Yeah, which I think is to his credit,
stays
too.
Above it, which is the right thing to do.
We heard from Phil, who said, Donald, dear Roundtable, Donald Trump is a front page story. More important is to hear the reactions of his opponents to his outrageous comments. And that's a very interesting
It is a letter. Very... I don't have it in front of me now, but there was a list of how everybody responded to it.
Cruz is the worst. I think I read that Cruz refuses to do anything while some of the other guys.
Yeah.
On McCain? He said he has refused on immigration and other things.
Yeah, no, his basic line is he's entitled to his opinion.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
You know, so without blasting him.
Well, I mean, I don't think this is about his having an opinion or even expressing it. It's about expressing odious opinions and then being a front runner for a presidential election.
Yeah. Well, you know, I like that last line of yours and what you said before, because I truly believe half this country is really angry. They're just angry. Mm-hmm. They're angry about everything. And this is the angry candidate. Mm-hmm. This is the guy who comes along and says, they're all full of it, you know, and either with me or with all those professionals. And it may be instructive to those people who are politicians saying the same old platitudes over and over again that they better watch out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's an article in the New York Times today. It says, who advises candidate Trump? Hint, his name is Donald.
Yeah. Yes, right. That's who advises Trump. It's himself.
And he's congratulating himself for his fine showing, too.
But this whole concept of we're Americans, we don't apologize.
Well, but his other thing, which
is the ugly American.
Yeah, the other thing is, you know, I'm rich. He said that. I'm rich.
So I should be.
And by the way, a lot of people buy it. Mm-hmm. A lot of people buy it because in America, that's the royalty.
He has said, I've also, this was something that was mentioned this weekend and I found it interesting, is that while most people running for president take it as a full-time job, Trump said over the weekend that he says, you know, I still have businesses that are more important than this. It's about 50-50.
Oh, my gosh.
He's got to understand. He's going to have to give up all that stuff. It's called conflict of interest.
This guy is going to be front page forever. And the reason he's going to be front page is people can't get enough of it. So you get much more important stuff. You get the nuclear stuff and everything else. But there you are.
But it's a sad commentary that people can't get enough of him.
Well,
and that's why he'll
or is the old saying
no, I can't get enough of him. I like reading this stuff. I'm not going to vote for him. I would never consider him.
I've had enough of him.
Are you done?
I'm done.
Well, you know the old saying, sad schmad. It doesn't much matter. Mm-hmm. What, you know, if people will pick up a newspaper or go online and look him up, and if in fact they are going to keep on doing it, newspaper editors will be able to take one look at the situation and say, we'll give them what they want.
Well, it isn't just newspaper editors. Look at us here on radio, and it's all over the internet.
Well, I would include us in the group.
Yeah.
So, you know, Morton Downey Jr., remember Morton Downey Jr.?
Sure.
Comes out, does a show for a little while, says outrageous things, screams, yells, throws chairs, boom, 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 boom. And then after a while, people are like, okay, that's good. Keep throwing the chairs, and then I'm done. And you can only assume that'll be the case here, eventually, that people will, as Libby has indicated, tire of this and move on, but... Who knows?
Well, they haven't tired of other despots, and I pointed that
thinking
out before.
People will tire of it. People who...
You mean you hope people will tire of it.
Well, no, well, thinking people. But people who do not think about this and have a knee-jerk reaction and love coming from a place of anger like he is and defiance and without regard to anybody else, they're going to keep loving this.
Okay, those are characteristics, but let me talk about the substance for a second and ask Alan, our
substance expert.
Our political scientists about, you know, just the mechanics of this. When you outrage, or I would assume this would be an outrage to veterans, especially to disabled veterans, to people who have served this country.
Why? It wasn't when John Kerry was attacked. That was hideous. Do you recall that?
It's a very good point.
The Swift point.
He was swift-boated. Yeah. And I mean, there was that was an extraordinary case where he was a hero. He was medaled. He comes back and then becomes a critic of the war, which is that not the epitome of the American dream, that you fight for your country, but then you also say what you think is wrong about it, and you have the right to do that. And he was totally vilified. And I don't recall veterans coming rising to his defense. I don't recall Democrats even rising to his defense.
Well, it was a terrible moment, and they let him get away with it. And same thing that Dukakis did with the tank.
Yeah.
You know, it was stupid, but you know, look, there's a point at which you get up and you say, I'm damned angry and I'm not going to take this anymore, because people want that from you. And if you think you can just fool around and not get angry and not react strongly, you're dead meat.
I know. I don't like Trump because he gives people who speak their mind freely, of which I like to think I am one, a really bad name. He's the one who's the term loose cannon applies to him. That's what a loose cannon is.
But he's interesting. Like. He's interesting. You know that he is for a single payer system. Now, that's fascinating.
Is he still for it? Because he's changed his mind on
everything else. I watched something online the other day.
It's brilliant, by the way.
Trump, before Trump, now
Trump. Yeah.
He was pro-choice.
Yep.
He was
a Democrat. Single
payer. He was much more on the Democratic line. Yeah. Right,
sure.
Yeah. And now he sees an opportunity, because this is all this is. It's just
how come we're not hearing how he flip-flops? You know, the Democrats, and they're probably right to do this. They're not attacking him. They're just letting him wreck the Republican thing. Yeah, that's really,
Why engage?
Yeah, in fact, the best thing for them would be for him to get the nomination.
Oh, my goodness.
Maybe not for the American people, but for them.
For the Republicans.
The other thing, the elephant in the room, and then we'll go to a break here real quick, is that even if he doesn't get the nomination, then third party, of course, is the thing. That's right.
And he's raising
You're kidding.
He's not saying no.
I did not.
You know, Bernie is saying, no, I won't do that.
Right.
You know, but and I won't ruin the chances. But Trump is saying, you know, mess me up here. I'm trying to not use dirty words. Mess me up here.
He's doing a Ross Perot.
And I'll do it.
My theory is that he was so annoyed with how Obama dissed him at the White House Correspondents' Dinner for the past 2 years that this is his revenge. He's going to run for president. He was humiliated.
Oh, well.
I don't think so.
Who else hasn't been?
I think he loved it. That's my bet. My bet is the more attention for a guy like this, the better.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be back, and we'll talk about other issues as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Springbrook, Oneonta, New York, supporting people of all ages with developmental disabilities, working in schools and homes and in communities across New York to help individuals achieve independence. SpringbrookNY.org. Woodstock Farm Sanctuary now moved to a new location in High Falls with a reopening celebration on Saturday, September 5th. Featuring food vendors, live music, and tours with rescued animals, woodstocksanctuary.org. PS21 Performance Spaces for the 21st Century, Chatham, New York, presenting Light Up Troy Family Circus with acrobats, jugglers, and more on Friday, July 24th at 7:30 p.m. PS21Chatham.org. And from the Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, announcing their updated website with more information about membership, grants, and loans, so our past has a future. PreserveNYS.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We have a lot of letters, so we'll get to those in the few minutes we have before our BBC news break at the bottom of the hour.
All right. And from Colleen, if you want to consider Trump a serious candidate, then seriously discuss his record on bankrupting casinos, paying his lowest workers, and corporate welfare. And that's Colleen from Stanfordville.
It's another reason to keep talking and saying an outrageous thing, so we don't cover those kinds of things.
I don't know. And Ken says, Trump can say anything he wants about anyone he wants without having to worry about his POTUS run, President of the United States. This is just a Fox Noise audition for a new place to park The Apprentice. And Scott says, we sure can talk to each other on this program. Scott says, sure, Trump is a kook, but there was an interesting sum in the Rolling Stone some years back that indicated that McCain's dad, who had a distinguished and influential military career, was able to pull strings so that even though his academic and military Air Force record was weak, his pilot skills allegedly suspect. According to the article, he disobeyed orders during his fateful mission to Vietnam. And according to the article, if he had adequate piloting skills and had followed orders, he likely would never have been shot down.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, well,
more blasting McCain. Right. Horrible.
Right. And more revisionist history.
And Joseph says that John McCain had suffered as a POW was never in dispute. What is disputable is whether dropping bombs on cities like Hanoi from 10,000 feet up is a heroic action. I can't see that people who are opposed to war can stand behind McCain on this. And he is a reprehensible hawk. And Paul says, Trump's job is to keep focus on him and allow the other Republican candidates to go unnoticed until they are ready for the spotlight. Nobody is criticizing Jeb these days. And Mattman says, remember, you get what you pay for, all his money. And yes, Rosemary, this is the right's front runner. No, and there's a question mark. Let me see if I can read that right. Remember, you get what you pay for, all his money. And yes, Rosemary, this is the right's front runner. Okay. Income inequality makes a giant leap forward.
Yeah, I read that.
And, oh boy, the attack on Kerry's war record was inexcusable, but I do recall McCain coming to his defense at the time.
That's true.
I've had my differences with McCain, but on some issues, he's very consistent. And John says, an outrage on the panel, read the obvious payoff by the Hasidic community to Cuomo for vetoing bills would have required fair treatment of the citizens and protection of the economy and ecology of Orange County.
A curious Joel story.
Yeah, it's curious Joel story.
Yeah, that was out Friday.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's stay with the subject here. Josh says, what made me laugh was McCain's line in response to Trump. This performance with our friend out in Phoenix is very hurtful to me because what he did was he fired up the crazies. No, Senator McCain, says Josh. It was you who fired up the crazies. You and your running mate, Sarah Death Panels, are coming for your grandparents. Palin and Boehner and Cruz and Jindal and Brownback and Santorum, et cetera, all you created the crazies. Now they're just coming back to bite you in the you-know-where. It's your fault, Senator. Embrace it.
Oh, that's a very funny letter.
And Harold says, Donald Trump's confrontational remarks seem to serve as something of a distraction. Such remarks distract voters from getting clear and relevant information about important problems facing the country. Consequently, voters have less opportunity to make well-informed and unaffected decisions about the candidates. I would point out that less than half the country votes for president of the United States to begin with right now.
We are.
Yeah, sure.
We just have to go over to a break. We'll be right back and discuss this more. Good morning, and welcome back to the roundtable. You thought the first topic was fluff. Ooh, you should have heard about what we're talking about at the break.
That's a tease. That's not nice.
No. Well, yeah.
Yeah, sort of, kind of.
Welcome to the program, and it's very nice to have you back with us. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan Chartok is here. Rosemary Armeo, Libby Post. I'm Joe Donahue. We welcome your comments. Did I cut you off in the letters? Do we have more letters?
We have lots of letters.
A lot of. Well, see, this is the thing about this Trump issue is that if we were to talk about
yeah,
as we did on Thursday and Friday about the Iran deal, we don't get that many letters.
No.
But if you talk about this,
right,
you get a ton of letters.
One's complicated, one's not.
Yes. Well, there you go.
Well, there
people
it is.
Are listening to us when we talk about Iran and federal prisons.
That's right. They don't have time.
Yeah.
To
yeah,
they
right.
don't have.
So anyway, Scott says, I listened to the right-wing station last night to get their take on Trump. They said Trump shouldn't have said what he did, but the real problem is the left-wing media, who won't attack Hillary or Bernie, but will attack Trump unmercifully for one stupid remark.
Silly, okay. silly stuff. The media attacks everybody who makes stupid remarks, attacks all incumbents and powerful people. Just
about
true.
Everything that comes out of his mouth is a stupid remark.
Well, Ellen says, I have come to see Donald Trump as a very amusing performance art.
So do I. I agree with her.
And
good.
Yes, we did that one already, I'm quite sure. Okay, so then Jay says, what's interesting is to watch the Republicans tiptoeing around Trump because he is running as a third-party candidate, doomsday candidate in the general election. It will be fun to stay tuned to this drama, and that's from Jay. And Scott says, I like that Donald speaks his mind and is decisive. He's not politically correct, but our politically correct politicians take forever to get things done. Donald may push things along and would publicly humiliate foot draggers. Donald may instigate World War III. And that's from Scott. Jeff says, Trump the lump. Republicans want to talk about entertainment? Their most popular candidate is the most entitled man in the world. I'm so sorry. Let me start again. Republicans want to talk about entitlement? Their most popular candidate is the most entitled man in the world, came out of the womb rich, went bankrupt 3 times, and pays actors to go to his speeches and rallies. And Robert says, panel. Wonder of wonders, the Republican presidential candidates have finally found an issue safe enough to criticize Trump
comment.
About. Trump's stupid comments about McCain's captivity has emboldened them to the point where they are falling over each other to express their outrage. Remind me, did any of these great patriots serve themselves? I don't think so, and that's Bob from Albany. Let's see. Jim says, imagine if Donald Trump was actually elected president and said something outrageous on the world stage about some government who had nukes pointed at us. Tony says, no apologies for McCain until Swift voters get hammered on phone noise.
Right.
How come no one is slamming the Swift voters today? McCain gets nothing until false noise apologies to John Kerry.
I spoke about that. I agree.
And we did Phil already. Thank you, Phil. And that, I think, is, I believe, that's it, Joseph.
All right.
Oh, no, some new ones came.
Bye-bye.
No, that's no good. No, that's no good. No.
Well, we can save those for our next round.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's move on to another topic. Where do you guys want to go? Any requests? Do you want to do Cosby real quick?
That's a good one.
Okay. This is a light news day, so sure.
Well, no, I mean we can
more
do
more entertainment.
So this was because this is almost
this is
a media project question. Mm-hmm. This is a
yeah.
A societal question, and yes, an entertainment story as well. The New York Times. There have been news outlets following this for years, and the New York Times over the weekend. Got the entire deposition that Bill Cosby gave 10 years ago in a hotel room in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And he admitted to seducing a young model by showing interest in her father's cancer. He promised other women his mentorship and career advice before pushing them for sex acts. And he tried to use a financial sleight of hand to keep his wife from finding out about his serial philandering. It is not possible, of course, to read the entire article to you from the New York Times. I'm pretty safe in saying this. I feel like that I'm safe in saying this, that it's hard for any person to read it and not be sickened by his actions that he not only admits, but is rather boastful and proud of.
He is a predator. He's a sexual predator. He doesn't get it. He doesn't understand the consequences of his actions. He thought it was all about romance. And it's like the typical way men have been socialized to think about sex, socialized to think about rape. It's all about romance. And, oh, so I gave her a drink or I gave her some roofies or whatever it is. It's okay. She had a good time anyway.
Two things. One, in the deposition Mr. Cosby had for years managed to keep private, it was obtained by the New York Times.
That to me is, as a journalist, yes, one of the most interesting things. Did I interrupt you?
No, no. So go on that.
So the AP came out several weeks ago, and we talked about it with, I thought it was the deposition, excerpts from the deposition. What it actually was a memorandum between the defense, Cosby, and his accusers. And it included snippets of the deposition, which is what started the big story.
Kind of the highlights.
Right, the highlights. And the response from the Cosby apologist was, well, we don't have the whole thing. We don't really know what he was saying. Well, the New York Times did not just stop, which I think as a reporter I might have. They asked further, or someone came to them, a court reporter, and they said, how do we get the deposition? And they go, you could have gotten it at any time. It was never sealed. The memorandum that the AP had to go to court to fight to get was sealed. But the long, complete deposition never sealed. Cosby's lawyers thought it was sealed. Certainly the press thought it was sealed. Everyone thought it was sealed. The court reporter goes, here you go, the whole thing. This could have been out, had anybody asked, years ago. I'm not sure I would ever have thought of it.
Well, then they're in this. So in this deposition, it says the person questioning, it was a lawyer in this case. So don't forget that this deposition was given for a particular case of a woman, a Temple University employee.
She was the basketball coach or worked in the basketball office.
She worked at the as a basketball manager for Temple University.
And the danger of the case was not just her accusations, but that a number of other women were saying, you know, we'll come and testify for you. So it would have come out, the whole serial aspect of this.
So the lawyer is struck by Mr. Cosby's jocular manner, and he says, I think you're making light of a very serious situation, to which Mr. Cosby replied, that may very well be.
Oof.
And I think I'm a pretty decent reader of people and their emotions in these romantic sexual things, whatever you want to call them. I mean, it's like, give me a break.
Okay, if he gets out of this one, that PR person deserves
a big medal. He's not going to get out of this one. I mean, this has been going on for way too long. The problem is that the persona of him as America's dad in
a
certain respect.
That's over.
You know, that was hard for some people to get over.
Me.
Now that's gone. Right. I mean, a lot of us.
Hey,
you know?
I ate Jell-O this weekend and I felt bad.
You know, but the fact of the matter is he's a predator, and he used his position.
Yeah, no,
and
I want an investigation of what his earned, not honorary doctorate, but his earned doctorate. No,
at the University of
UMass.
Yeah, it was in the education department. And I know they couldn't wait for him to do that. I mean, I get that. But I'd love to know what his subject was and what he...
Well, isn't his dissertation public?
Sure, yeah.
So, there we go.
Sure. Very, very true. And whether he had it any easier than anybody else, any of that stuff, that might be interesting. You know?
And what's most depressing about this is his wife,
who just is sitting there. Who
just doesn't get it.
Well, maybe she does,
yeah,
but
she's
lying
now. But
putting on a face for the public,
so,
you know what I mean?
So
look at how long
of
her life has been dedicated to supporting his projects.
Yeah,
you know,
right? To supporting him.
Exactly.
So. I felt when I was reading the story, I said, well, this guy will never perform on stage again, right? I mean, nobody's going to pay to see him again, are they?
Well, after it came out, he did several performances.
Well,
everybody
was saying, oh, it's the media.
And they were all sold out.
Now this is a little different.
They weren't, though.
They weren't all
sold
out.
No, they weren't. In fact, then they started to cancel because then people were disrupting the shows, and it got to be ugly. And then finally, you know, which was, to me, like, just sit down and let it pass, if that indeed was what was going to happen. Yeah. But
well, now he's the punchline.
Right.
Well, okay.
Well, we'll see.
Okay. We get it.
So it was an interesting.
But on the other hand, I mean, he's had a decades-long career. He's past retirement age. He really hasn't been punished for what he's done.
Can I ask the question, though, that doesn't seem to be...
He hasn't.
I think he's been punished. I mean, you know, he had quite a reputation. He was, as you said before, America's father and all the rest of it. And
okay, but if he raped 50 women, he did not have... He was
well,
not
he did
punished.
Not get the punishment of a rapist. But
right,
he has really been brought down, as you just said, Joe. People stop showing up for the
but
he's not going to. He needs to go to jail.
Okay, so here's my question.
Well, you think he's going to go to jail?
Or no, but I think he. I don't know.
So these are all dated, right?
There's no.
So my question is: at what time do you then turn and say, "I'm not going to do this anymore"? Is that what happens after 10 years, or because there is such?
What do you mean?
Well, he was into pills. You know, why not Viagra along with the Quaaludes? You know, yeah, why did he stop? That's what Joe is asking.
Did he stop?
Is there anything
currently
going on?
There is no. What is the statute of limitations?
Seven years.
Yeah. So, I mean, in the past 7 years. Now, this was 10 years ago. This deposition.
Right.
So, did this like scare him, and then he never did it again? Or
so I have a question, which comes right out of your question, very Talmudic. My question is, are you sure? Are you sure he hasn't done anything in 7 years?
Well, no, I'm not. But what we're saying is that nobody has come forward.
Yes.
There, as in all of these, of the women who have come forward, there has not been one that has been more current than, say...
Yeah, no, I get that. But what if there are one or two or three out there? Those are the people who can really monetize their situation.
Wait.
You mean they can make money?
They're worth a lot of money because the statute of limitations is not
passed.
Oh, you
mean he'd pay them off to shut up
well,
for another
sure.
4 or 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
Gosh.
Well, and that is certainly what had happened in the earlier
I'm not
case.
Saying that's happening.
Yeah. He boasted about
that. I'm sorry, what did you just say, Joe?
Well, that's what happened in the earlier cases. Right. He paid them off.
You're right. Well.
All right, let's take a break. We'll move on to other topics. Roundtable@WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Norman Rockwell Museum, Stockbridge, Massachusetts, presenting an evening with children's book historian Leonard Marcus Thursday at 5:30 p.m., nrm.org. Style Fabrics, Route 28, Kingston, specializing in quilting fabrics and supplies, faff sewing machines, quilting classes, and more. Style-fabrics.com. Harrington's Lumber, Millwork, and Building Supplies offering the Marvin Next Generation Ultimate Double Hung Window, a traditional window that automatically locks when closed. We share your passion, harringtons.com. And from Dorset Theater Festival, presenting Sherlock Holmes and The Case of the Jersey Lily in a Baker Street tale of intrigue and wit at the Dorset Playhouse through Saturday, dorsettheaterfestival.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. We welcome your comments, roundtable@wamc.org. Angry protesters in Chattanooga this weekend. When's the government going to do something is the tenor. There were several in the crowd who said that they wanted to know why the Obama administration and the military weren't doing more to, quote, kill Islamist extremists in Iraq, Syria, or wherever they might be. They were furious at a U.S. military policy enacted during the Clinton administration that prevents recruiters, from carrying firearms while on duty. This after the shooting in Chattanooga on Thursday, where five men were five officers, four Marines, one Navy officer were killed. Many family members included in these protests that were in Chattanooga over the weekend. And what do you think?
I blame right-wing media and Fox for this, for rousing up the idea that all Muslims are to blame and there is a limit to what the U.S. can do. There was something about flags were not ordered at half staff. Is that true for the desk? Now, that to me seems like a lapse similar to when we had the shootings for Charlie. Remember those in Paris, and we didn't send anybody over. We didn't act like we didn't pay respect. That seems like a lapse, but no, because he was a naturalized American citizen. He shoots up a military area, and we're going to go drop a bomb in Iraq. No, that does not seem like smart foreign policy to me.
What about the recruiters and being armed?
No, I think we should be disarming everyone. No, of course I'm not going to be in favor of that.
Alan?
Well, you know, if you give people guns and you tell them that they should have the guns with them, somebody's going to have a gun and use it in the wrong way. I mean, I have great respect for the policy that people on these bases do not have guns with them. But I do think they deserve to be protected and protected by the people that they're working for. So that means that there are MPs around. They've got guns. They're supposed to be alert to this. But I think it's almost inevitable with the kind of guns we have in this country that's going to keep happening and happening until we get some sensibility and say we have to stop the guns one way or the other.
Yeah. By the way, to interrupt for a minute, John McCain was on the Morning Joe show this morning, and he said, Donald Trump doesn't owe me an apology, but he may owe an apology to military families. Mm-hmm. Pretty classy answer.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And by the way, several people have checked in on Cosby to tell us his dissertation was on Fat Albert and teaching kids using Fat Albert as a model.
Well, not to digress from Chattanooga, I can understand how one could use Fat Albert to teach children about respect and other issues. I loved that whole series because I was a kid when those cartoons were on. But, you know, what happened in Chattanooga, people can start screaming about guns and those folks need to have guns. I think that, you know, we do need to get rid of the guns. And my heart goes out to the families, but...
Yeah.
The idea that we should kill all the Muslims, which is what somebody said in here, or that every single Muslim is, you know, to blame for this or is going to do this, especially based on what I read and the relationship that local mosque has with the folks, with the leaders, the civic leaders in Chattanooga. This was a lone person. This was a lone, deranged, depressed person who had access to getting a gun. Isn't there... Is there any better argument for the need for gun control? Look at the guy in Colorado, a deranged, even though he was not found guilty by reason of insanity. But
look at Sandy Hook.
You know, look at Sandy Hook. All of these things happen with these people who are mentally unstable with access to guns.
I know that I've had this fight with you guys before, but I truly think that when the head of ISIS or one of the other major groups, Al-Qaeda, says, okay, this is the way we're going to do it over there, and broadcasts, basically, narrowcast to these characters who are obsessed and says, you go do that. That's an act of bellicosity and war as far as I'm concerned. And so you can't consider that this person is just sitting here acting all on their own.
No,
they're responding to stimulus.
Right. They are responding to stimulus. They're responding to the lone wolf stuff, the whatever ISIS is putting out. These people who feel so disconnected from everybody else but feel connected with this. You know, I mean, we see this historically over and over and over again.
And while a great believer in gun control, I do believe that with those ties, as Alan mentioned, I have to wonder that even if we had the strictest gun policies in the world, if this gentleman would be unable to obtain the weapon that he used to...
Well, we found out in South Carolina that a young man who should not have been able to get a weapon had one. The law didn't work. So the one thing the NRA is right about is that the existing gun laws, that we do have a few still, are not enforced correctly. So let's see that before we start arming the population.
Okay. Real quick, two other issues. During the closed-door talks in Vienna on limiting Iran's nuclear program, Secretary of State John Kerry argued that the United Nations Security Council should not vote on lifting sanctions on Iran until Congress had a chance to review the deal. But he ran into a wall of opposition from Iran, Russia, and even the United States' closest European allies, who argued successfully that Security Council action should come first, according to Western officials. On Sunday, as the Obama administration submitted the agreement to Congress for what promises to be a raucous 60-day debate, they're grappling with the fallout of that decision, which has complicated their efforts to secure much-needed support within their own party.
Well, this cuts many ways. It really does. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have Boehner inviting Netanyahu to the Congress with tremendous popularity coming and tremendous applause from the Republicans. And now you have the Ayatollah himself coming out for it. You have, the Russians for it. You have probably the Chinese, although I haven't read it, for it. And that has got to put somebody's light bulb on in their head. Well, if these guys are for it, can't be good for us. And then you get guys like Chuck Schumer, who's about to be the most powerful man in the United States after the president. He's going to, well, if the, assuming the Democrats win the election. He's got to run for public office next year. He's incredibly popular right now, but he doesn't want to blow it. And he has a very pro-Israel group of people who would be in a position to hurt him if he gets damaged by this. So this gets to be troublesome. And I think that the United States Congress, this is no easy deal to get this thing through. As you know, they can pass a law, then the president vetoes it, then they need two-thirds to override it. It's going to be tough.
Well, to me, the story here is the incredible arrogance of the U.S. Congress saying to China and other members of the U.N. Security Council, no, you can't talk about it until we're done. I mean, half of us Americans don't listen to Congress, and now they want to dictate to the rest of the world. Absolutely, this should be debated in the U.N. And the way it's set up, it isn't going to override the debate in Congress. It will simply set up policy for the U.N. on what they're going to do about sanctions. And Congress, Republicans need to know that the will of the world is against them. They are ready to take off sanctions from Iran. And whether they're taken off or not, Iran is going to be, without this deal, working for a bomb. They're going to be working for a bomb if there's not a deal in place.
We are out of time, but I want to thank everyone.
How'd that happen?
You got going.
And
you got going.
It's Trump 9:58. Mouth.
Yes. So we have to say goodbye. But you can certainly write in. Roundtable, Rosemary, even you can write in. Roundtable at WAMC.org. If you have more to say, that's fine. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan, Rosemary, Libby, thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
We'll be back. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.